Mikey and Rin eating yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. It's your buddy Mikey flying a solo mission over the ocean, just enough gas to get me across to the other, to the European continent. We'll see if I land in the waves, but it's me. Rinny is at work. We're putting out the show just a little late this week. We are just back in town from Colorado. It was a lot. Our baby, who's 15 months old, is, gosh, he's a very cute kid. He's very flirtatious. He's been a very good co-passenger, flight mate, until very recently, where he hit, you know, he's just starting to walk. So that is presents an issue on a plane where you are strapped into a seat and made to stay in one place for a significant amount of time. The other thing that he's been doing, which is fucking great, is that he's starting to do the, anybody who has a kid probably knows, the back arch, where out of nowhere he'll go, and like flex his back. And while he does that, he swings his head back as hard as he can, like a fucking bowling ball. And totally pretty okay when you're in a house or you're outside and you're able to kind of hold him away from you because you know what's going to happen. Not so great in basic economy seats on United, where his head blasted Corinne in the chin, eye, many different parts of her face, collarbone. And yeah, he caused a lot of damage. And so it's either that or he's rocking his head against the seat in front of him or trying to reach over and pull the person's hair in front of him. So yeah, it was a lot. And we just didn't have time to record a show. So I'm going to give you guys a nice little taste of just what's in Mikey's brain right now. I thought that I would do a show where I kind of dove a little bit deeper into some of the stupid stories that I have referenced in our Mikey Quizathons. We've had a lot of people reach out and ask to hear kind of more about certain stories. As you guys will know, the Quizathon is it's an intellectual endeavor. It's designed by me along with some of the psychological professors, psychology professors at Harvard. There's a whole testing. There's some people from Pew. We just have a whole brain trust of people that gather together and we make up these amazing questions that technically I only know the answer to because they are objective answers. Subjective, whatever they are, it's an excuse for me to be a selfish asshole and tell stories about my life. And then Corinne or whoever is playing against us loses always because I only know the answers. So we have a couple stories that have kind of popped up that I've only told like brief versions of that people just wanted to hear some more versions of. So I've got a couple that are very funny. I hope that you like this. Next week, we're going to be coming at you with a show with Rinnie and I. It's undetermined right now, but we've got a couple things in the hopper that we've been recording some things about, and it's going to be a fun episode. But for now, just me. Cozy on up, grab a cup of Joe, and listen to some funny stories. Let's see, where do we want to start? Okay, first one, this is, I'll set the scene, Italy, maybe 2005, something like that. My family travels together, which I think some people think is this very kind of cool version of travel. It's like, oh, your family gets along so well that you can all travel together. And I think a lot of families that travel together, especially when they have adult children, they go to a hotel, they go to wherever they go. And then everybody's kind of got their own, like maybe they each have their own hotel room. That just makes sense because then you're not having to almost accidentally see your parents naked while they're showering. And you can have your own space to do your own thing. No, my family is extremely cheap. And when we travel, even with us as adult children, we would all stay in one room. And I would get a cot, and usually my mother and sister would sleep together in one bed, and then my dad would sleep in another bed. I never really thought this was weird until I married my wife, and she was kind of horrified by the whole endeavor. So we were in Italy, and we were in Santa Margherita, Portofino, this beautiful area of Italy that's known for its seafood, and it's known for just beautiful, sweeping views of the ocean. And this trip was no different. It was gorgeous. Everything was wonderful. We basically would go and have wine and we'd eat like our fill of calamari and things like that. And it was just, it was wonderful. What I got really addicted to while I was there was these little, I don't even know what it was, like pescado frito, maybe. That's probably not the way you'd say it. But it was this, the little oily fish, like little anchovies and sardines and things like that. And they would like, you know, do a really light batter with them and then fry them. And then a couple places they would like throw in sage leaves or they would throw in all these different things. So it'd just be this big platter of fried stuff, salted. And then you would just hit it with like a little bit of lemon and eat it. And so I just was on this trip, this particular trip, I was at an age where I maybe wouldn't instantly gain 200 pounds when I would eat just fried things and aioli. And so I ate, you know, many versions of this, many platters on my own, selfishly. Nobody else was allowed to have any. And so there was one particular day where I'd eaten a platter of this fried fish, and we get back to our hotel later that evening, and I'm like in the shower, and it's, or I'm in the bathroom, and I'm kind of like, you know, this is the age where I, you know, I was probably 18, maybe a little bit older than that. And I was like, I love to just go in. I'm a fucking pimple popper. Let me just be real here. I love to, I don't actually have that many pimples, which has always been kind of like a sad thing for me. And you guys can all give me the big crone, the big sigh. For my wife is someone who does have pimples, and the fact that I want to have more pimples so that I can pop them pisses her off endlessly. But so I'll go in and like, I would just like be looking at my face, looking for blackheads, looking for pimples, whatever. And on my arm, there was this pimple. And I was like, oh, wow, an arm pimple. This is special. Like, this is something that doesn't happen all the time. And it's just what a glorious thing to be able to extract. So I go onto my arm and I, you know, pinch with a little two finger kind of velociraptor sort of moment. And I pinch my skin together, and out of this pimple comes a bone, a fish bone, a tiny little like hair, you know, thickness bone that was in one of these oily fish. I know that many of you are doctors that listen to the show. I don't know what this is. At the time, I think that my lack of knowledge of the medical field and of the body in general, I think I kind of thought that I ate it and digested it, and then maybe it traveled through the interstitial fluid in my body and then came out through my arm. I don't even know if I told my family at the time, because I think I was kind of gross and weirded out enough that I just was like, let's go ahead and we're going to keep this one in the secret hopper. But I think realistically what probably happened is that my arm, you know, this bone fell onto the table. I rubbed my arm against it and maybe like inserted itself kind of like a splinter and then created this pimple. It all happened within an hour or two though. So that's the thing is I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but, yeah, so that's, that's my arm bone story. And it's never happened to me since. I am someone that has a very, pale complexion. I'm very fragile. I bruise easily. Maybe I also have really boner skin. I've got skin that can be boned easily. So, yeah, so that's a thing. Okay. Next story. This is kind of a quick one, but I call this story bang, bang, bang. I lived in Napa, for culinary school. I lived in St. Helena, California. It's beautiful, top of Napa Valley. But what would happen in St. Helena was we would go out and have, we would indulge ourselves, perhaps in, you know, the jazz lettuce, the marijuana, or I would have a couple drinks. And in St. Helena, if you wanted to get naughty food, basically there was nothing. There was like it was a tiny little kind of rich person town, and there was just like, there's no fast food, absolutely not. They wouldn't bear that. But there was like a little burrito spot. So what I would sometimes do, and I will say that I wouldn't be over the limit. I would be just a little bit stoned. I'd be a little bit, maybe have a couple drinks, but I was able to drive. And I would drive to Napa. And sometimes I would do this when I was just down in Napa. Let's say I was mountain biking or something like that. But I would go to Napa. Napa was the bigger city. And one of the things that happened there is there was these kind of vortexes. Again, Napa, a wealthy area, wine tasting, all the things. So they didn't really have, it wasn't like a normal town where there was kind of like strip malls or things like that. They kind of centralized their the guiltiness. So they like centralized the fast food in one particular area, like on this one particular road, where kind of like all the fast food, it was like the fast food vortex. And what could happen in that given area was there was like basically four corners that each had a fast food restaurant on it. And I think one of them even had one or two. So what you could do if you really wanted to be creative was you could get a little something at each of the fast food restaurants. And I call this bang, bang, bang. So what I would often do is Taco Bell, Mexican pizza, or I might get two soft tacos, two hard shell tacos, something like that. But I would get something that was just kind of like wet my whistle, just a little appetizer. Then I would go to, I can't remember, I think it was In-N-Out on one of the corners, KFC perhaps. I want to say maybe Carl's Jr. I can't remember the whole experience. But basically what I would end up doing is I would get tacos, maybe a chicken sandwich or chicken tenders, and then I would get some Buck Wild thing. I might get like Frosties and French fries, but I would get a little something from each of the restaurants. I even kind of like am forcing myself to say restaurant when I talk about fast food places, but yes, they are technically restaurants. And I would get those things and I would sit in my car. I would drive to the back. And all of you have done this. And if you haven't, fuck you, don't listen to the show. But I would drive to the back part of the parking lot, oftentimes near a trash can, and I would just eat these things while listening to music and I fucking hope that nobody would connect eyes with me because I was shame eating in the back of a parking lot. Eat all these things, four-course meal, four different restaurants. Nothing gets fancier than that. And then I would throw all the evidence out and then drive home with all my windows down in the car so there'd be no smell evidence either. Okay. I hope that anybody can vibe with that. I think that all of you have probably done something like that, but I don't want to feel like the only disgusting pig. Okay, two more stories. One of which was a time in, it was right after college, and a group of my friends, some of whom I know listen to this show, we were in Breckenridge, Colorado, which is a place very near and dear to my heart. I grew up ski racing there. I was not very good. I got below bronze all the time and was not known as a famous skier there. But my friends and I, basically what we would do is we would plan these trips where, you know, it was basically like naughty time. So we would go, first of all, none of us had fake IDs. None of us were of age. And so we would drive around for fucking hours and we would find usually a homeless person, or we would find someone that just kind of looked cool, quote unquote. And we would say, and we would fish. And so we'd say, hey, we have like $40. Could you go in and buy us? And we usually had like a little list of alcohol that we wanted, which was like, I mean, it was probably like cinnamon schnapps and Midori. Because we were young and stupid and didn't know actually what to drink. And so, and maybe beer, something like that. But I think we were going for bang for your buck. So we'd usually get like hard alcohol. And then we would also buy whatever the fucking cheapest food was that we could find. In our case, that was oftentimes bacon. This time we pooled our money and I think between four of us got 5 pounds of bacon. And this is like the cheap Kroger in-store brand, thick cut, probably not the greatest thing in the world. But we got it. And we were there for one day. We were there for maybe one, two nights, something like that. But there was kind of one big breakfast. And so, of course, what we did was in many successive pans of cooking, cooked all the bacon, all 5 pounds of bacon, and consumed all 5 pounds of bacon. This was also a day where we were going to go skiing and then also potentially, I think, go play basketball at the rec center there. So for the whole rest of the day, we smelled, I think it was partly because we had been cooking bacon, you know, in a closed environment. So we had bacon grease all over us. And so while we were skiing down a mountain, windy, open mountain, you know, 10,000 feet, there were stink lines of bacon flying down the mountain behind us, and we could all smell each other, and it was disgusting. We then end up going and playing basketball. And first of all, we also think that we're all having heart attacks because we have 5 pounds of bacon in us. And it's basically at that point wrapped around our hearts like devils on horseback. Our hearts are the dates at the center of the bacon wrapped devils on horseback. We're all having slow heart attacks. And so then we go play basketball. And in my recollection, we played against men that we didn't know, boys that we didn't know. And they were so grossed out. They were like, something smells so much like bacon. And basically we're like leaking it out of our systems. We're farting. It's sweating it out. And I remember them commenting on it significant amounts of times. And then also basically saying that they didn't want to play with us anymore. So, bacon, it's never lost, its place in my heart. I love bacon more than anything, but this was, I think we can all agree, too much fucking bacon. Okay, final story. This is one that I think I brought up on one of the things. It's actually just a memory that I had recently. But I can't remember if I've talked about it in the quiz-a-thon, but I'm a pizza freak. I think everybody knows that. Hold on, I'm gonna have a little sip of coffee. So when I would come home from the bars in college, I would either, I used to say hungry or horny. So basically I would try to like, meet a young, a nice young lady who might want to spend some time with me. But most of the time that did not work out. And so I would order pizza on the way home. And usually by the time that I got to my house, there was pizza delivered, or I would eat a bunch of slices on the way home. But usually I would order pizza and it would be at my house. And then I would, like a fat troll, go up to my room and lock the door and eat pizza. And I really was just trying to make it so that my stoner roommates could not smell the pizza and then come up and try to eat some of it. But there was this one particular time where I ordered pizza. And I would usually order a pretty big pizza, but then I would eat like half of it and then put the rest of it in my little like college fridge that I had, and it was all good. But I got to my house and there were two pizzas. I had ordered one, two pizzas and wings, and the pizzas were like the extra large, like you were having a scumbag party, and there's so much pizza that like it covers an entire table. They were still round, but they were just these like comically large circus pizzas that there was no fucking way I was going to eat even close to all this. The other part was, this was too much pizza to fit in my tiny little fridge. So I locked my door. I inserted my best friend's wedding on VHS tape into my VHS play, my VCR, whatever you called it. I rewound that videotape and I watched that whole movie while gloriously, victoriously eating through one of those whole pizzas. And I think even a couple slices from the second one, in order to whittle it down to enough storage room that I could stick it into my stupid little college fridge. And no one else in my house would be allowed to enjoy one slice of pizza from my order. So I call this two pizzas, one fridge. I think that I deserve a gold medal for this. I ate probably three times the amount that I would have eaten in a normal sitting that night. But I did it in order to be selfish, a pig, and really just a champion in the food hall of fame. So I hope that you guys are really proud of me. If you guys ever want to hear any more detailed stories from my stupid quizathons that I do, please let me know. Let's eat@mikeyandrin.com. Our socials are at Mikey and Rin on Insta, and that's kind of the only one that really, really pushed. Facebook gets the same post that we do on Insta. But we'll be back next week with an installment with both Mikey and Rin and more fun stories from the edible world that we call ours. Goodbye.